Hello, this is Patricia Green, and welcome to OneLink. We've been talking a lot about health in the Black community in a lot of our interview segments, and it's really critical to be informed. There are so many parallels with respect to what happens with Blacks here and what happens with Blacks throughout the diaspora with respect to critical health issues. What's unique about our interview today is the fact that collaboration can make a difference. Partnership building can make a difference with respect to capacity building, with respect to a broader approach to improving health issues that impact our communities. And so our interview today is with Tiffany Tate, and Tiffany is the Executive Director of the Maryland Partnership for Prevention, which is the state's immunization coalition, and she also leads the Childhood Immunization Partnership. Tiffany is a guru, I know personally, with respect to partnership building. And she understands the importance of culturally competent information that resonates with who African Americans are. So I'm going to let Tiffany talk with you a little bit about what the partnership is, and then I want to hone in on some of her tactics that she uses statewide to galvanize interest groups around immunization. Welcome, Tiffany.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here to talk about such an important issue. Our coalition is comprised of a number of stakeholders, people who have an interest in making sure that children and adults are up to date on their vaccinations. And so we've got hospitals and government agencies, local health departments, social programs like WIC program, which is a food program here in America. We've got all different types of stakeholder groups that participate in our coalition to identify pockets of need, what we call pockets of need, areas in the state that need extra special attention to make sure that people are up to date on their immunizations. We also use that group to identify different groups. Our coalition is comprised of practically every stakeholder group that has an interest in making sure that adults and children are up to date on their immunizations. So that includes hospitals and local health departments, government agencies, social programs like the WIC program, and other groups that provide support to families and adults to make sure that they have all of their health issues addressed. And the beauty of having a coalition is that you don't have one voice, one perspective attacking any particular health issue. You have a multidisciplinary approach. So within the members of our organization, we have members within their organizations that bring a different perspective. We have nurses and health educators, administrators, and so together, when we are looking at a particular group that needs to be focused on for immunizations, if we're looking at African-American children, then we can draw on the expertise from our various coalition members to be able to identify the best approach and the best strategy to do that. And so we feel like we have really strong immunization rates in Maryland because we have a strong coalition, because we don't assume that we know everything about every particular group, and instead we use the various groups and experiences and expertise to address a particular immunization issue.
Thank you. And how large is the coalition? How many members?
We count our coalition by member organizations versus individuals because we, like I said before, we have multiple people represented from within a particular agency. So currently we've got 32 hospitals, we've got 24 local health departments, we've got 2 health insurance companies, we have 6 pharmaceutical companies, we've got several social programs, and then we also have representation from a number of the professional associations of physicians and other clinicians. So we have probably 85-plus organizations represented. We have a newsletter that we release twice weekly, and that newsletter has a circulation now of about 800 people, 800 email addresses that we send it out to. So we have a very strong, far, broad reach for the coalition.
wonderful. The barriers are obvious, Tiffany, with respect to African Americans and low immunization. Why are the barriers present?
Well, I think they're present for a number of reasons. And so in our country, in the United States, there has been, in our history, unfortunately, there have been times where African Americans had been experimented on against their, without their knowledge and sometimes against their will. And so I think that although people in this current generation may not have all the particulars about those incidences in history, they still have kind of a general mistrust of the medical community. So I think that's one of the issues. I'm not sure if that's the major issue. It comes up a lot, but I hear it more often from academics than I do actually from the community. And when I hear it from the community, they can't put their finger on why they don't trust the medical community. Maybe they've heard something from their grandmother or their great-grandmother, so they don't have specific examples of this knowledge, but they still have this mistrust. So if you put, you know, this general mistrust of the medical community and a lack of knowledge about why it's important and the belief in myths that circulate, that vaccines actually give you the disease and things like that, and then access, and it's a trifecta that unfortunately results in low immunization rates in this community.
Thank you so much for that insight. And I know you're doing some things to really bring to fore, particularly among African Americans and Hispanics, the importance of vaccination through culturally competent literature as well as PSAs, public service announcements. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. You know, a couple of years ago, we decided that we were going to hold focus groups. We would partner with one of the local health departments to hold focus groups to identify the barriers to flu vaccination in particular, because there's this huge disparity in our country between adult flu vaccination rates. So African Americans are vaccinated about 16-20% less from flu than whites. Now, it's very interesting because for years we had a persistent gap among children, and a few years ago, that gap between white kids and black kids went away, but there's still a gap between African American and white adults. So that's what we were focusing on. So we brought in these focus groups, and we had about 10 groups comprised of African Americans of all ages to look at what their issues were, what their knowledge was, what their beliefs and attitudes were about flu vaccination, and it gave us some really important insight. The most important insight that it gave us is that a lot of people felt like, well, I'm not really that sick. I'm pretty healthy, and so I don't need the flu shot, and so that helped to inform our messaging. So we tailored our messaging to be, don't get vaccinated for yourself, get vaccinated for the people around you. The other thing that emerged is that people didn't really have a clear understanding of what the serious complications from flu could be, what would happen if you got the flu. So a lot of folks felt like the flu was a cold. You know, a lot of times people say, oh, yeah, I have the flu, when they really have a cold, and so they're down for a couple of days, and then they can go back to work, where typically a serious case of the flu can put you on your back for a week or more. So, and when people are off work or they miss school, they don't get paid, and so we wanted to highlight that in our messaging as well, and we learned through the focus groups that people didn't understand that a real case of the flu could put you out of commission for a long period of time. So the two myths that we wanted to, or the three myths that we aimed to address were, one, healthy people get the flu, that we have a responsibility to protect the individuals in our community and in our homes who may not be able to be vaccinated or whose immune systems just aren't strong, and that you can miss a lot of time from work and school to do that. And interestingly, we found that across both ethnicities, African Americans and Hispanics, the messaging needed to be about the same. And so what we did was created several different spots in settings that we saw African Americans and that would resonate with African Americans and Hispanics. And the one that was most popular was of an African American mother sitting in her kitchen, looking into a camera, talking like she was just so exasperated, talking to a friend about an experience where she was trying to convince her son to vaccinate himself and the family, and she dispelled all the myths. And it was very effective, and so we did it also a Hispanic version, and we did it in Spanish, and then we also did it in English with the Hispanic mother. So we received a very strong response. We have people, you know, we've released it, you know, nationally to our partners nationally, and they've posted it on their websites and aired the spots. But they've been very effective in just honing in on the issues that are preventing people from being vaccinated in these ethnic groups.
That's great, and I've seen those spots, and they are award-winning spots. They totally resonate with the target audience. Great job. So with that in mind, I'd like to ask you something with respect to our listeners. They're over in England and other parts of Europe and maybe even Africa. How can they do what you're doing? How can they?
Well, you know,
if they have not formed partnerships around certain health issues, the flu or any other health concern, how can they get started?
Patricia, it's such it can be a difficult but very worthwhile task. I think that, you know, when we started building our coalition 14 or 15 years ago, there wasn't a lot of talk about collaboration and partnerships and coalitions. So I think that the foundation has been laid, and that it might make it a little easier than our road. But I would suggest that first, people just send out an email to everyone they can think of saying, we have a particular issue in whatever area. We have this problem, and we want to solve it. Organization is extremely important, because if, you know, folks have been invited to be a part of big things before, and if they are not organized, people lose interest. If people don't feel like they're making progress, they lose interest. And so that's why I emphasize focus, because the focus will tell people, today we're meeting at this time, we're going to meet again next month, and these will be the things that we will have accomplished by then, and then we're going to meet in another 3 months, and this is what we will have accomplished. But people need to feel like what they're doing, that their efforts are going towards something that's making a difference. And so organization and demonstrating progress and results, I think, are critical when you're putting together a collaboration like this.
Good point. So with that, if they want to hear more from you or learn more from you or get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Well, we have our website, which is www.immunizemaryland. So immunize is spelled out, and Maryland, MARYLAND.org. That's our website, and they can also give us a call. It's a U.S. number, 410-902-4677. And I certainly welcome calls from my colleagues across the world, because this is a really, immunizations are an important issue, and coalition building in general is an important issue. I care about every single health topic that's out there, and I think that, you know, immunizations are a really good way to get people's attention, because immunizations affect everyone. They are across the lifespan, and so once you get a coalition together, that, like an immunization coalition, it's so unique in that every single person on this planet should be vaccinated, and that's not necessarily true for other diseases, or health issues. So if you can put an immunization coalition in place, you can be pretty confident that you have people represented who are interested in children, who are interested in adults and seniors and families and parents and expectant parents. Then you can use that coalition to spin off into other interest areas. So coalitions are important. Immunizations are very important. And immunization coalitions might be the way to get started. So I welcome calls to be able to help my colleagues across the world in helping to get things started for them.
Well, you heard it. You heard it from Tiffany. She's available as a resource should you need her. And I can tell you, she is a wealth of knowledge and experience. So thank you very much, Tiffany, for joining us on One Link. Okay.
Thank you so much for having me. This is a passion of mine, so I'm always happy to talk about it.
So, audience, this has been a Patricia Green Dialogue for OneLink.